Dudes and Vibes podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Dudes and Vibes podcast. Dudes and Vibes.
Podcast. There's no good way to get past.
No good way.
There's no way to get past the dong in the Undertaker song. I tried real hard, you guys. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Dan Bigelow, Danielle Radford. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the sassy Southern Kelk, Lindsay Kelk.
I know them, but that's cool. I'll take it.
I'll take it. You're marrying into the South.
I am marrying into the South. God damn.
Ha, suck it. And our special guest, she is a writer and interviewer with Spandex and Fansided. It's WWMLE Pratt. Don't do that to me.
I'm so flattered by having a themed nickname. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. So what we usually do with our new guests, we like to talk a little bit about how you became a wrestling fan, like how you got into all of this, and then what you're doing now with your fandom.
I first got into wrestling watching it when I was a kid at my friend's house and after soccer practice. And then that was in like the early 2000s. And then I took a break for many years. Eddie Guerrero was like our favorite and he died. And then also I understood sexism and how it related to me as a person.
You know,
I didn't want to watch wrestling anymore.
I do feel like the Diva Search was like the era when most of the people I know who are decent people who like wrestling, like if there is a point where you dropped off, it was probably around that like really dark.
When you stopped feeling like a human being who was relevant to the thing you were watching?
Yeah. When they stopped treating you like a person.
Yeah.
When'd you end up getting back in?
I got into WWE again, definitely from The Shield, but before that, kind of just on the internet, I found out about more like international wrestling. Yeah. I think honestly, just because I looked up like Eddie Guerrero stuff out of nostalgia and saw some like Best of the Super Juniors. Mm-hmm. And that like opened my eyes to like all this other stuff that it's like, oh, you can just go on YouTube and watch like so much other wrestling now. And it's interesting. So that's how I got back into wrestling.
No, that's it. Look, Best of the Super Juniors is always a great way to get back into wrestling.
Exactly, yeah.
Some good Joshi matches as well. Like, there's some... YouTube has been really helpful, especially for, like, going back and catching up. Because there'll be stuff where people are like, oh, well, but what about Nexus? And I'm like, I don't fucking know, man. I didn't. And then you go back and watch it, and I'm like, I guess Nexus was pretty fucking good. I get why you guys liked it. So in case anyone missed it, sounds like a lot of people did, there was a new WWE show / Lugs ad last weekend called Stomping Ground. It was headlined by Seth Rollins defending the Universal title against Baron Corbin. Corbin has his choice of a special guest referee, which was Lacey Evans. And when she gave Seth the low blow, who should come out but Seth's IRL bae, Becky Lynch.
And now, Baron Corbin!
Here it is!
With an end of days! This is a damn shame! This is a damn shame!
Yes!
Becky Lynch! Becky Lynch is here! Becky Lynch is assaulting Evans! Becky Lynch is taking out the official! It's no disqualification! Becky can do whatever the hell she wants to do!
It's the nicest thing anyone will ever say about Lacey Evans.
Who, and I personally can't wait for the Botchamania after this. Oh my God. Lacey is not ready.
No. I mean, no. I feel bad even having an opinion because all of my opinions are colored with the particular Crayola shade of get this woman off my fucking television.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's unhelpful. But I can't fathom it. I don't understand it. I don't want to, like, just go back to my set position of Vince wants to fuck a blonde with big cans, because I don't think that's helpful or constructive to the conversation, yeah. even though it may be true. But why is she there? Why is she in this position? Why is she being given all this responsibility? She's not ready.
Yeah, no, that Raw title match was rough. Did you get a chance to...
Yes, yeah, I watched Stomping Grounds, and I agree that it was like okay, but it was like definitely... Other people could have had a better yeah. match with Becky at this time. But...
It's not even like she missed cues. Becky yeah. was having to like redo moves.
Yeah.
Because she just wasn't there for it. That's not even like, I get maybe not being able to pull stuff off or not being as good, but like missing spots.
Yeah. I'm really worried. I just think, given the situation they're in right now, competition is running wild all over them for the first time in ever. Their ratings are supposedly in the toilet.
Can we take back Running Wild? Can that be
yes,
ours instead of
Yes, we're having
of his?
It back. Because I didn't even think, so it's ours now.
It's ours now. speaking of horrible people.
Speaking of horrible things, and racists in particular. But I don't understand why this is an intellectual decision that was made. That's why I'm like, is it just because Vince enjoys it? Because I don't get it as a logical or a business decision. If you are struggling... Why would you take the hottest commodity you've had in the longest time and then put it up against someone who cannot step toe-to-toe to match this, raise it?
Yeah. I'm not compete. Even necessarily like step toe-to-toe with Becky. I don't know. First of all, yeah, if you can't pull out a good match with Becky, like, I don't know what
no.
you're doing.
No.
And it was like fine. It was a fine match. But again, like just, and I'm not one of those people that when people be like, oh, this person botched this and they botched that. I'm not like that great at spotting this stuff. So if I'm yeah. seeing it, oh boy, oh, it's not good.
Yeah. I feel like they maybe thought like, not just like the hot blonde thing, but I think maybe they saw that like the elevator pitch of like, oh, it's the man versus the lady. And they're like, yeah, this is cool because it's like she's not traditional and the other one is traditional. And then they were like, it is not working out that well, but they're like, it should continue for some reason.
A bunch of white guys in a room who made that terrible decision. And they were like, let's just double down on it instead of stepping back and thinking whether or not this is actually regressive and possibly damaging. Let's just keep going.
It could have been the man versus the Marine because Lacey was a Marine.
Yeah.
And it ties into when Becky was in the Marine. I just wrote a thing.
Yeah. They could have advertised the Marine so much more.
So much more. And it's a fabulous
movie. But instead... She's a lady with a hat. They're also really getting in on the Seth and Becky thing.
Ugh.
And having them be a couple on the show and having her come save Seth. What are we thinking about them being a couple on the show and how much they are showcasing their coupleness? I hate it.
I'm thinking I was looking forward to the John Cena and Nikki Bella wedding, and I'm not getting that. So I refuse to invest. I feel terrible for these poor people who are trying to live their life. And I feel like they probably didn't get a lot of choice in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really uncomfortable watching for me personally.
Yeah, and this isn't even insider information. Like, I know the person that Becky was dating before she was dating Seth. And so I have an idea of the timeline of how long they've been dating. It hasn't been that long, dudes, for them to suddenly be like have the pressure of their relationship being part of the product.
Yeah. And it seems like they don't have the same like on-screen chemistry as other like real life couples that we have in WWE. Like, I mean, John Cena and Nikki Bella, it was always like, is this just completely fake? But they had like chemistry.
They were clearly.
Yeah, they were like entertaining.
Boning
like,
each other like crazy, if nothing else.
Yeah, John's just a big weirdo.
Yeah. The like Naomi, Jimmy Uso cut. They're adorable.
They're perfect.
You know?
They're perfect.
Yeah.
It just looks uncomfortable, right? Every minute of it. I mean, Seth's little adorable puppy dog face where he genuinely just looks like he would follow to the ends of the earth. I have time for that, but I don't need to see it during matches.
Put it on Instagram.
But her uncomfortableness with the whole thing, that it just makes me cringe and die. And I want to just go out for drinks and be like, Becky, man, it's fine. It's okay. You like, don't got to do this.
I don't want to read too much into it, but we were talking about this before the show. You know, there was that tweet where someone put up a picture of them and they quoted, like, "Can you feel the love Lion tonight King, yeah. from Lion King?" And Becky was like, "Okay, calm down, lads."
Yeah, they were like, "Lads, please stop." That was what it said. Yeah. And it's like, "Please stop." And I'm like, "Yes, please stop." Just like that nun said to Katy Perry right before she died, "Please stop." Like, I need this. I need it to not be happening.
Well, and then, you know, I think that her new Twitter avatar of her with Seth's face superimposed over her, I think that is a very passive-aggressive way of being like, "Oh, cool, so now all of the work that I've done to build up myself and to build up the women's division, and I get to be some dude's girlfriend." Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, it is a situation where Lacey, sorry. I love you. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Did you just call me racist modcloth?
I did.
Which someone said on Twitter, and I can't take credit for that, and I can't remember who it was, but I will credit them to the ends of the earth, because racist modcloth is my favorite description.
Well, now that's what we're calling her. So if you know who said that, let us know.
Someone tweeted at me and I will retweet it because it was glorious.
Oh, that's pretty fucking fantastic. But yeah, like it, and I know that they're doing this thing where it's, "Oh, it's Becky's boyfriend and it's Becky's boyfriend," but it doesn't always read that way.
No.
And I just don't want them to get slotted into, I don't trust
the WWE with it. I just don't trust them with that nuance of saying, like, "Oh, this isn't like before when it's Brie was Daniel's wife and Nikki was John Cena's girlfriend. This time, he's the man's man. It's the other way around." I'm like, "Well, then I don't trust you with this."
Yeah, they're like going too hard with making it the other way. Or it seems like so intentional in a way where it's like, well, previously when somebody was like somebody's wife, it felt kind of demeaning to that person. Yeah. So this is like, well, Seth's like the universal champion. It seems like he should be able to have his own thing going on. And Becky should be able to have her own thing going on.
He's literally the top guy in the company because of the way that it works. And look, I would love for the women's belt to be seen by the company and the people at large on the same level as the universal title. But let's be really fucking real. It's not. And part of that has to do with, like, the history of the unification of the titles and bloop, 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 going from being a Divas
it's
champion.
Being competed against by Lacey, I hate it so much, I can't say her name. While racist modcloth is the person that's fighting for it, how does that elevate it? It doesn't.
Right, and so it does not help either of them in the way that this might be fun if, say, she was part of a tag team and he was like the European champion or something like that, where it's like, okay, I get this, you know, belts all around. Do they bang with their belts on?
Oh.
I ask this every time two wrestlers.
We actually discussed this at length.
Like, literally.
The other night.
Yeah.
Jeff was insistent that they do. I was like, I don't know if they bang with them on just because of logistics, but, like, in the room for sure.
I feel like you would have to at least try.
You would have to do it
just
once
to see.
Right?
Yeah.
If
I mean,
it worked,
it's just
how
positional.
It felt.
You're just going to have to figure out positional. I don't want to get into this.
No, we're not
going to. But, I mean, at the same time, I am thinking about it.
Yep.
I'm just saying, look, if I was a WWE title holder and I was with a WWE title holder, we are smashing belts at least fucking once.
That's all I'm thinking is the clinking of the belts.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways around that. Yeah.
That's great.
That's my new fetish. It's just we both have to be WWE title holders.
Tap in titles.
Tap in titles with Danielle Radford. The new weekly show.
Well,
we discussed the positional possibilities of boning whilst wearing wrestling belts.
See, and in this, and in Tap in titles, we wouldn't have to use names. We would just say if you have wrestler A and wrestler B.
Tune in.
That's got legs, guys. That's got legs. So the crowd was pretty decent for most of the night. I am going to talk about something later with Brian's match, because fucking why are you trying Tacoma, you guys? But for this match, they were like not into it. Why do we think that happened?
I don't know. I personally, while I was watching the pay-per-view and it got to the 50 minutes before what I thought was the end, and then they were like, "And now it's the Seth match." I'm like, "Oh shit, thought this was over." I had totally forgotten there was the Seth match because I had so enjoyed the Kofi match. And I was like, "This is a good time." And I'm like, "Oh, there's more. This goes on."
Yeah.
And I think maybe everyone was just done. Was everyone done?
I was tired, and the match was not good enough to untired me. You know how sometimes, like, you've been watching wrestling and it's been so much good wrestling? Because this was not a bad pay-per-view. But there, you know, there was stuff in it that was good.
I just don't think it was... It was fine.
It was fine. Yeah, but so I didn't get that second wind back when they started. And I also just, like... Why are Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans in this match?
Yeah.
I like the ending of the Kofi match, but I didn't love it, and it felt long to me.
It did
so
feel
I kind
long.
Of felt
no, the
like,
ending
okay,
is the
I'm
best part.
Ready for this to be. Oh, so this that kind
of.
So,
yeah, by
like,
the end of that, I was like, yay, we finished 50 minutes
and
early.
Then it was like, it's
no.
time for Baron Corbin. And there was so much like pausing and just stuff going on for so long. And maybe if the shenanigans had been done in like a more energetic way, then I think that would have gotten me back on board if it was just like insanity. Because at first when Lacey Evans came out, I thought, oh, this is insanity and this is going to be like so bad it's good.
She tripped. I'm sorry. I would have tripped too. Yeah. That's who I am. But it's not my job to be graceful.
No. Yeah. I assumed Becky would come out right away and be like, I've got my eyes on you, bitch. Or at least it would be speedier. But instead, it was just poor. It was just poor. I don't want to see Baron Corbin anymore either, you guys. I was away for a whole month, and I lived a whole month of my life without Baron Corbin, and it was glorious.
Well, now you're back, baby. Welcome back to America.
Back in Baron's world.
Yeah.
I could take some Applebee's. I did miss buffalo chicken.
See?
But apart from that.
Get the riblets. So speaking of the Kofi match, so the other world title match that night was Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston for the WWE title in a steel cage. Yeah, that match went a little... Does Dolph seem like he's tired and bored?
I am tired and bored of Dolph, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think if I was Dolph, I would be tired and bored because... Like, I feel like when they put him actually with Drew McIntyre, it was like, oh, this is like something different for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, this is like the exact same thing he was doing that people got tired of. So I think if I was Dolph, I would be bummed out about this.
He's such a talented fucking performer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I think, what bums me out. And so maybe it just like makes my eyes glaze over because it's like, he's not going to win.
No. I have no excuses for him anymore. I just feel like this has been the Dolph for the last 6 years. Ever since, like, when he was like, I'm not going to sign that contract, which has got to be 6 years ago now, right? Because he's done it twice since he said, I'm not going to sign.
Yep.
And then he's re-signed twice. And I'm like, no, you've done this to yourself. These were choices you made. And they don't know what to do with you. They never knew what to do with you. You should have walked away when you had the opportunity to walk away. And now, what the fuck are you going
to
do?
Honestly, I think that he wants to make movies, and I think that this is his day job.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to say, but I feel like WWE is his day job, and he wants to, like, make, you know, him and his brother Nick, who is my bud, so I have to say that so I don't just sound like, and that's not me bragging, but just because it's like, I don't want to plug something without being honest about it. Like, they're working on a movie, and they've worked on a bunch of short films, and that's kind of, and he's been doing comedy, and I feel like that's kind of where his heart is.
Totally fine and good, but in that case, I'm like, just leave because you're just clogging up an already clogged up system with the same old shit. And same as you, I used to love him. I bought his shit. I bought his t-shirts. That's as much love as I can express for a professional wrestler. But now I'm just like, it's the same thing. And I already saw Christian do one more match. I don't want to see you doing one more match too. Like, come on. Fuck off. Like, I don't know what's a polite way of saying this.
Kofi's great. The dive was great.
It made me so happy. It actually was the bit when I was like, yay, like a child. And then they were like, now there's more wrestling. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I that he gets to have those moments because that is one thing that I worried about with him becoming the champ because, like, I feel like sometimes with champs, your style kind of changes and maybe you don't get to do the things that make you you. And with Kofi, he's got so much personality. So the fact that he was still able to be like, hey, it's me. I'm still a crazy leaping guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's no pogo and pancakes, but I will take it. And so speaking of the New Day. That's me.
Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride. Speaking of the New Day, what did y'all think about Sammy and Kevin beating Woods and Big E?
I'm always excited to see Sammy and Kevin win.
Me
so
too.
I'm like, you know what? I'm not upset about this.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Sammy and Kevin, where it's like, it seems like as a tag team, they could obviously go really far, but then they're not really a tag team, so...
Wow, Cosmo,
it was nice for them to win.
Nothing makes sense anymore. Yeah.
I don't know. It just, that's as much feelings as I had.
I like Sammy's new hat.
I like his new head.
I'm fine with it. But like, yeah, I'd like some consistency. This sounds crazy. What a crazy bitch in this corner. I would love to see some consistency from my wrestling. And I am not.
Yeah, so. Don't worry. We're gonna get to the really fun stuff later.
Are you so talking about Shane some more? Because like,
oh well, we have to talk about Shane. We've got we've got fun stuff later.
Yay.
Don't worry. We'll talk about Joe's match, which was good. But how do you feel about him as Kofi's next challenger?
I love him as. I mean, it doesn't make sense because like you just lost a belt, so why are you now in the title picture? But sure, I don't care. I want to see it because I love Joe. I love Joe, and I love Kofi. Kofi and Joe. That's my song.
That's a great song.
Thank you.
We finally got you singing. I told you it was going to happen.
That's all it took.
I agree with the song.
Who doesn't? Who wouldn't agree with the song? Oh, I've been alone for too long.
Yeah, that should be a good match.
Yeah.
That they have.
Excited about that. And then we had Bayley with her first successful title defense against Alexa Bliss. Alexa's looking better.
Yeah.
I know that she's been doing some training and she's been really like hitting it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows. Yeah. I always like when people, because she was another one who I always thought that she was really good on NXT, but she was someone where because she is a talker and because she looks like who she looks like, they wound up pushing her really hard when she came up to the main product. And so I'm really happy she's taking the opportunity to really get those.
It almost feels like her injury was a blessing in disguise for giving her some time to elevate herself.
Two concussions.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm trying to put a positive spin on getting your face smacked in by
Ronda Rousey, who
shall not be named. but yeah, I'm happy she's doing stuff and that she's back. And I'm interested to see where this Nikki Cross storyline is going. And
yeah.
It's fun. She's a good foil for Bayley. I think they bring out good stuff in each other.
I agree.
This went a lot better than that last time that they feuded with the This Is Your Life.
Didn't it?
Oh,
it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, like when it started, I kind of was a little bit disappointed because, well, I think also it was confusing because of the wild card where I was like, how is this happening? But it all worked out, and I agree, like the time off, it seems like Alexa came back stronger, which is all you can want for a wrestler coming back from an injury.
Please be good at wrestling when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously she's great at talking and that's amazing, but if she works hard, she could really be a total package. And so that's fingers crossed. All right, so now we're going to get to Daniel Bryan and Rowan. They retain the SmackDown Live titles. Guys, you have to know that when Daniel Bryan is in fucking Washington, we are going to lose our minds for Daniel Bryan. I don't know why they just didn't, like, of course we're chanting for Daniel Bryan because we go hard for him. We are the ones, might I remind you, I don't know if I've said this before, but I was at a certain Raw after the Slammies where we shut down Raw chanting for Daniel Bryan. God damn it.
I don't think you've mentioned that before.
I don't think I've ever mentioned that before. I was there.
No way.
That's crazy. Like, Seattle, Tacoma, all surrounding areas. We go nuts for Daniel Bryan. You guys have to know that.
Yeah, and they've done like Seahawks gear, sports team babyface-y, and they're like, the people will be into this guy as a heel, right? They will not overwhelmingly cheer for him. And it's like, no, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He is our dude.
Certain people, you're going to take certain places, and it doesn't matter what you do with them on that day.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He could have like punched a baby and they'd be like, that baby had it coming.
Yeah, but, you bring Sasha to Boston and Boston's going to pop.
Yeah.
Like, those are just...
Certain places feel certain things.
If you go to Chicago, you are going to hear CM Punk chants, and that dude hasn't been seen for years.
He doesn't even work there anymore.
Where is he? He is in a hole training somewhere for his next horrible beatdown.
For his next terrible life decision. Whatever it may be.
Whatever it's going to be, you guys. All right, so one last thing before the break. Ooh, what does everybody think about Drew Gulak as the Cruiserweight Champion?
I'm so happy. happy.
I am so
Allow
happy.
Me to howl it up for Philadelphia's favorite son.
Give it to
I
me.
I am so happy this is happening. I love him so much. I've loved him so hard for so long, or at least since he's been in the WWE. And I'm so fucking happy this finally happened for him.
Me too. He has earned it. He is consistent, both in the ring and on the mic. You know, the PowerPoints was great. What he's
so
doing
good now
is great. He is someone, he's another one of those people you can give him any fucking gimmick and yep. he's going to make it work. And that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he looked great in that match too. Like he was destroying, like, yeah, he just crushed it. He's just been crushing it for years. So it's great to see him
be
the champion.
Everything you give him, he destroys it. So this is awesome. And I hope it's a step for him.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not, because I know that like we haven't talked as much about 205. I've been watching some 205 because it's one of the good ones. Especially if you talk to any Canellis. Who, boy, talk to.
They have so much to say.
Just talk to any fucking Canellis. If you've got any thoughts about everything we've discussed or any thoughts about Mike Canellis, let us know about them at
Even
Facebook.
The baby.
Even the baby. That baby's like.
That baby cannot shut up about 205 Live.
205 Live is where they do the Wesley. let us know about my weird, dumb baby voice at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back in just 1 minute with more from WWE and a look ahead to the G1 motherfucking climax. Next on Tights and Fights.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent. And then that's how my day starts.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm so sick of it. When is that going to be over? Like, I want it to stop.
Teresa, you're hurting my ears.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, no, that's...
I just hate it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It sucks.
It really sucks.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org. on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kell
and
Emily Pratt.
You are the first guest to get that right on the first try.
Yes.
I just want to say. Even the people who like listen to the podcast all the time, although to be fair, a lot of people who listen to the podcast all the time, we have them on Skype.
Yeah.
So that's like probably why it skips. But yeah, you got the perfect beat.
Yay.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're going to get like two nicknames. so here's a fun fact. Since his return, Drew McIntyre has not won a singles pay-per-view match. That trend continued after he lost to Roman Reigns on Sunday with Shane McMahon in his corner. Lindsay?
I can't.
Shame thoughts?
It's so complex because I just feel like I'm working out a lot of my daddy issues on Shane. Like a lot of them. And it's like I really, really want to have hate sex with him because I think it would be great.
It would be very purifying.
But I also want him to die. Why is he always on my TV? I can't even do my regularly scheduled Twitter segment of This Week in Shane McMahon's Jeans anymore without getting furiously angry at myself. Even though I will say this week his outfits were much better.
They were really good.
I would be seen in public with him with what he was wearing this week. Although not because hate sex only takes place in private.
Yeah, hate sex is a secret.
He'll be like, do you want to get a drink after? And I'd be like, absolutely fucking not.
No, in
and
fact,
then walk
I want
out
you to
and cry
leave
in my car.
Immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Get out. Anyway, tap in titles. Tune in. Why is he in every storyline? Why is he like, oh, he's in a Miz storyline and a Roman Reigns storyline and now the Undertaker's back.
Why
and
is
here he
he
is doing a coast to coast, but not really.
I still pop for the coast to Midwest. Like that coast to
he's
Chicago.
He's not even
still...
getting to Chicago. I was going to say.
Yeah, he's not getting to Chicago
he's
anymore.
He's like Connecticut to Manhattan at the moment. He's like, I jumped off HQ and I just about made it to our licensing office.
Yeah, it's a Bolt bus at this point. He's just doing a Bolt
he
bus.
Paid a dollar. He's the Chinatown bus. And it's just not even as reliable as that. So, come on. Come on. Poor Drew being dragged down with this absolute nonsense.
Why is he more powerful than Drew McIntyre, who is like a huge man with muscles? And why is he kind of almost more powerful than Roman Reigns, who is like a huge man with muscles, and also Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
like,
why are you questioning
crazy.
The athletic ability of this 50-year-old office businessman?
You know what? Like, Andy Ruiz won the boxing title, so, you know, it's not a physique thing. It's specifically Shane. It's not even a 49-year-old wrestler thing, because there are better old wrestlers, but also he's like not even a wrestler, basically.
Super gassed dude.
Yeah.
And he like doesn't...
From stepping in the ring, he's sweating like a motherfucker.
He like, he is not a trained wrestler. He is literally the owner's son.
Yeah. Look at me, daddy. Look at me, daddy. I'm doing it again, daddy.
Do you love me now?
I'm gonna jump off it again, daddy, please. Like, I'm gonna wrestle all these guys.
How,
all these guys.
How high do I have to jump for your love?
I'll tell you how high. It's like, it's...
Do I need to carry your hammer, daddy? Like your... Like your other favorite, like your favorite son?
Yeah. Give me the hammer. I'm on the hammer.
I'll ride a motorcycle to the ring, daddy.
I don't want to know what he would do that Triple H does in order to get daddy's approval.
Oh,
but
man.
I think it would make us all uncomfortable and never appear on Tapping Titles.
No.
But it's just fucking weird. It's just weird. Drew McIntyre even got some like Just for Men in that hair to try and help himself get ahead. And I don't understand what's happening. Why bring him up? Why bring him back if all you're going to do...
Because that's what they do. It's like I was like, that's the, you go away, you become fucking white hot, and then they bring you back and you're this huge fucking Scottish monster, and they're like, you're going to slap box with the fucking owner's son, and that's what you're doing now.
And I still feel like they could heat him back up. I still feel like I believe him. I hadn't realized, actually, he hadn't had a pay-per-view win, but now I'm like, yeah, that's true. But I still want the best from him, because I... But then I'm looking at him through NXT glasses and indie glasses.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Did you get a chance to watch a lot of Drew on the indies?
I did not watch a lot of Drew on the indies, because I didn't watch really the specific indies that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I have seen him, like, do better stuff than what he's doing right now, which is like,
well, he's
wrestling
with a Shane McMahon tied behind his back, and that's hard because he's literally carrying that man.
He fucking might as well be back in fucking three man band at this point, like for everything they have him doing. And then because that's not enough Shane for 1 week.
I don't understand. There are so many people that work there.
Someone did like a count of how many people work there, and it's like the wrestlers, and across all brands, it's over 200.
Yeah, but you know what we need? More Shane.
Where is Buddy Murphy? He was supposed to be on SmackDown,
but just Shane.
But just Shane.
Yeah.
Roman had a handicap match against Shane and Drew when this man returned.
Renee was a bit quick with that, no.
Holding Roman down as Shane goes to the top rope, looking for the coast-to-coast here.
No!
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute.
Sorry, that's what Michael Cole was
like. Are you kidding me? Undertaker is here! The Phenom is here! The Phenom! With a choke slam to Shane McMahon!
Oh boy.
The Undertaker! The dead man is risen!
The deadly strikes of the dead man.
Is that the Undertaker's music, or is that the sound of the bottom of the barrel being scraped? I don't know which one it is. Fucking hell.
I guess he was just trying, like, who made Renee say that?
Everything about it. What the fuck?
Yeah? You're not super excited?
No, it's weird. And also, like, I can't help but feel related to him being pulled from all of his independent events. Because, like, no, you can't do StarCast or any of these things that I, friends of friends, not getting into naming names, that you were booked to do a bunch of stuff over the summer, and now you're not doing it. But, hey, want to do some of our stuff for some money? Sure I do.
Sure. You know what Undertaker likes?
Yeah. He loves money.
Yep. Like, a whole lot.
And, like...
the right to bear arms.
I thought you were going to say the national anthem.
I was thinking between that and like standing for the flag or something.
Yeah, and the police.
He both of those.
Well, you need the money to pay for the guns. So, I mean, it all makes sense.
Look, those Blue Lives Matter shirts aren't going to buy themselves.
He needs WWE
money.
Fuck
you, Mark. Why have you done this to us? You've taken everything from... I don't know what the fuck this is about. Or, I mean, I do. It's about ratings and about the fact they're desperate and the fact that
Taker like, brings
I mean,
ratings.
But I feel like we're 2 minutes away from a fucking Hulkster title run. I'm afraid for us right now. This legitimately scares me and not in the way Renee would like. This is worrying to me.
There is a way where it is a cool thing, I think. if they had actually retired The Undertaker by Roman Reigns, and now he comes back and they're a tag team, because that's... There is a potential there of like, well, now he respects him or whatever.
If
this was like a company with better writing,
crazy.
Like, I can imagine a world in which this is interesting. And I hope that they do at least one little interesting thing before this like insane tag match happens.
Maybe
it won't, but it would be nice.
The Undertaker's going to go backstage and say, the thing is, Roman, Shane's not getting any younger and he's going to die in the ring. So Vince was like, who's older than Shane and doesn't have his original hips? And they decided I was the best person to be in this match. Because that's the only part of this that makes sense.
Money, please. All right. Well, we've got the U.S. title. That was a fantastic match. It was Ricochet versus Samoa Joe. Ricochet coming out the winner. And then he lost to AJ Styles the next night.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
That happened.
Oh, Trevor.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You know what? They were great fucking matches.
Great matches.
They were really good matches. There's not really much you can say other than any combination of those three people is going to give you a fantastic match.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, I do feel like, I don't know, Ricochet isn't as bouncy. He's not as Ricochet-y.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Like, he'll adjust.
When I went to a show, it was TakeOver SummerSlam last year. Mm-hmm. TakeOver Brooklyn? It was Brooklyn. Is everything in Brooklyn? Mm-hmm. SummerSlam was in New
last
York.
Year? No, that was
no,
here, wasn't it?
I don't know.
No, it was War Games.
No. Yeah, last year was War Games at
something
Survivor
was
Series,
in,
but SummerSlam
yeah,
was
so
down
I,
Brooklyn.
I like I know I was drunk, but I know I was there, and I was asked to go to the press conference after the event, which I didn't know because I wouldn't have been drinking or dressed like a whore. It's the crazy bitch in the gold hot pants and a ton of makeup. Like, it's me. I'm going out after. But I went into the press conference and Hunter, because he was Papa Hunter at that point, was telling us that was his note for Ricochet, was for him to be less bouncy, to make it look less easy, to make it look more difficult. Because he's like, the thing with his note was that you look at Ricochet and it doesn't look real because he's too smooth and unnaturally
good. He's
too
good. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, we want it to look like he's working harder.
And he's interesting.
Like, he did all of the hard work outside of the ring so that he could get
this
good. I know.
Which it was an interesting note. And I have seen that in his main roster stuff. They're like, stop making it look so choreographed and make it look more like you're working through stuff.
But no.
I'm just
well, no.
Some insight into
no, thank you. I appreciate the inside info. But...
Yeah, I was doing a lot, working really hard at polite nodding. You know that bit in Twilight where they tried to teach Bella how to be human by saying, pretend to breathe and blink?
Yeah.
That was me in that press conference.
Oh, that's
it's like,
fun.
Just keep nodding and sipping your water and go like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, great point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was the one part I remember.
It makes me think of there was Chris Jericho recently, I think on his podcast, said that like Ricochet had talked to him about starting to use the code breaker because he was trying to figure out how to do the 6:30 less because it is taking a toll on his body. Doing it every night on the WWE crazy touring schedule. So I wonder if that is also. I mean, they can you can see like maybe Ricochet should not be working exactly the way that he has been working.
That's a really good point, because that's got to be, like, those high flyers, that shit's really hard. And you look at the way he lands, that's got to be hard on your hips and on your knees and on all your joints, really.
Yeah.
Wrestling, it turns out, you guys, is very difficult. And that's why no one in this booth has done it. That's why we drink and we watch it and then we come and snark about it.
Yay!
And we've never sold a single ticket. So
we don't draw.
We don't draw. We are not draws, my friends. So one last WWE topic. So this Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose thing is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. With like the hair stroking and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. This is queer bait, right? They're not going to do anything with this.
I just think if we're mad at Taylor Swift for that video, we got to be kind of mad at this. Because I'm like, I don't know, you guys. This doesn't feel right.
I feel like maybe they're finally moving beyond queer bait and they are going to try to do something, but it's not going to be good. But I don't know. It's like, it would be great if they did like a very well done, like queer storyline. That would be very progressive of them. Uh-huh. And it could be a big moment for Sonya, who is so talented. Mandy is very talented as well. But there are so many ways this could go so wrong.
I don't see where it goes right.
I guess I just don't trust the company that only learned that women are people 5 years ago to be able to really
nail
this.
People have a spectrum of sexuality.
Yeah. Somebody do a quiz about sexuality with people like writing and producing Raw.
Where does it go though? Like, where's the happy ending of it? Yeah. Where is the good version of it?
I mean, I think the only version of a good version if they're just a couple, but then
it's like, where does it go with that they're a couple? Because then, WWE can't just have that. They wouldn't have to have them break up, and they would have to have something else. I don't know.
But I'm not gonna lie. Like, there is something, and maybe not in WWE, but there is something really interesting because I've always thought about what if it was a tag team that's actually like they are together and they are like a couple.
Yeah.
That could be a really interesting
thing. Like, we have a
thing.
Golden Lovers scenario.
Like, we have a Golden Lovers
thing. Like, we thought possibly with the Iconics at one point. But instead it's, I don't know, I love that she is out and proud and they're doing that and they're very, like, happy for that to be a thing. And obviously, like, we know they're happy because it works for them. Like,
of course, and we know why you like it.
We're under no assumptions why they're okay with it because they're making some sweet, sweet
HLA.
I just am so anxious about where they go with it, what they do with it. It's like every time they have, I just don't want it to be a Lana Rusev Aiden English in the hotel room storyline where it's all like, psych! And I'm so concerned about them treating something that's so delicate. I'm just worried. Yeah. I'm just worried.
Yeah, they're not great at
nuance and subtlety
or,
is not their place.
Nuance. Yeah.
And I mean, do they have other queer characters for her to then interact with? No. And we're going to make Mandy play queer. We don't know. You know, it's like, is that okay? I don't know.
Well, and I don't know, you know, sexuality is a spectrum, so I don't know if Mandy is all the way straight. Lots of people
aren't. We don't know. Shayna, I believe, to be pretty
gay.
She's bi, yeah.
She's bi.
She's like identified.
I don't know if it's been identified as, but.
Yeah. So that could be, I mean, she could tap titles with Shayna, I guess.
Yeah. Be like terrifying MMA. power couple. Ugh. That actually sounds kind of amazing.
That sounds hot. That sounds awesome.
I've been sat in a room with both of them, and then I told you, they both shifted my spectrum, so I'm into it.
Oh, man, just have them come out. They're just
they're
both
like
fucking
hot
beasts.
Ladies. Yeah.
All right. All right, I'm into this.
Okay.
All right, we've solved it.
Episode 3 of Tapping Title.
we fixed
Sorry,
it,
Julian.
Guys.
We just hijacked this for our new podcast.
I like when I see Julian's head move when I say something inappropriate, because that way I know he's not shaking it. That happens sometimes, too. All right, you guys. You ready, Lindsay? We're going to get to the thing. Finally, let's talk about New Japan's G1 Climax Tournament. The tournament kicks off July 6th in Dallas, has a ton of highlights, including the return of Kenta. Jon Moxley is U.S. champion, a ton more. What are you excited for? What is standing out for you? What have you been popping over the last couple weeks?
All of it. I'm just so excited.
Kota versus Kenta, are you fucking kidding
me? I'm so fucking excited. Yibutan. I love it. I'm so excited. Like, it's not okay how happy I am and how giddy I am about New Japan right now. I left my own bridal shower early to go home and watch Dominion. Because I know my brand and it is what it is. But like, oh my God, this is everyone in the G1 is bonkers amazing. And I always thought I was excited last year. I'm pretty sure I'm more fucking excited this year.
Yeah, it is a stacked fucking card. You've got, like, you've got Okada, you've got Ospreay, you've got Zack Sabre Jr., you've got Naito. sorry, like, I'm just so, it's so exciting. What are some of your highlights for you? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I'm going to the show in Dallas to do media stuff, so I'm very excited
to see.
Yeah, I'm excited. Definitely, like, Ibushi Kenta is very exciting. Yeah. I'm very excited to see, like, Okada Tanahashi with, like, my own eyes, which is, like, why they would do it internationally, because it's like, even if it's bad, I'm gonna be like, wow, that was a great experience.
I get to see it. That's
gonna
it right
so
there.
Good. They're gonna be so good.
Yeah. I'm really excited for Shingo doing stuff, especially Shingo Ishii, because he's like, I want to be the open weight guy, and it's like, oh, well, you're in the block with the open weight champion. That's nice.
Also, the thing that I love so much about the G1 is it builds so many storylines, and that's something that New Japan are so good at, is managing multiple storylines and having so many different things come out of one thing. They don't need Shane McMahon in all their stories. Yeah. They have many people in many stories, and there are multiple levels and layers of each story. Because, like, you're competing in the J1, but like you say, we also have the open weight feud. We have all these feuds that we've been working on for years and years and years.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm just looking at the list of matches and doing, like, my little happy dots.
Yes.
And, like, Okada Sabre Jr., I enjoy Okada Zack Sabre. And anytime Zack Sabre Jr. can talk shit at someone, it's, like, my happiest thing.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to see what his new jacket is.
Harry Potter's not the only wizard from England. He will never live that down.
Nope.
He will never live that down.
Not even a little. Oh, I can't wait. So if you have any thoughts about the G1 Climax lineup or anything else we've talked about, if you want to talk Shane, you can put it somewhere.
Get in my mentions. Come chat with me about Shane. I am here for it.
She's got a lot of opinions. So let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back with some things from wrestling that you should know about up next on Tights and Fights.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And together we're the hosts of Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. What does that mean for you, the podcast consumer? Well, it means that you're going to get a lot of stories about how we used to do weird stuff to people in order to try to fix them.
Do you know that we used to think diseases were caused by bad smells? And that we used to eat mummies for medicine?
That's super funny. I kind of like it.
Well, thanks, and we hope you'll kind of like our show, Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. It's available every Friday wherever fine podcasts are sold, or at its beautiful, picturesque home at
MaximumFun.org.
Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kell
and
Emily Pratt.
Yay! Nailing it. This week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. I know it was a little bit of a negative show. Guys, it's going to get better because there's so many good things coming up. But until then, this is the three count. Emily, guests go first here. What do you want to put over?
I would like to put over... I saw some good shows from DDT this weekend. I wrote about one of them, DDT Boys, which is their show they do where only women can be in the audience. And it is fan service for the ladies. And it's very entertaining and mostly not perverted, but some perverted.
Yay,
but also they had like a show that was All Out versus Sendai Girls, Mako Satomura's company, that was all intergender and serious wrestling. And that was very good. They also had a show where they wrestled in a pool. So Go watch the recent DDT shows is what I want to put over, because it'll make you feel good about wrestling in life.
Yay! Oh, that's pretty great. And hopefully, speaking of queer stuff and being super gay, they will start to expand that DDP boys so that they can include some... You know, let some twinks in. Let in some. Yeah. Let some big gay dudes in.
Yeah.
Let everybody
life advice. Yeah. Let some twinks in.
I think that's more. You gotta like. Also, like Japan recognizes gay marriage. That would be like part of it. I don't know. Yeah, DDT and gay people is like in some ways very progressive, and then in some ways like not.
Not as much.
There is a lot to unpack. This is Sanjiro Takagi, the president of the company's theme song. He is a parody of Stone Cold Steve Austin, so I thought it would be good to play his theme song.
I enjoy it.
There you go.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But then it's the dance.
This is a version. Bop.
Oh, dude.
This is, I believe, as the kids would say, a banger.
Yeah, this slaps. I can work out to this.
I can only speak of the kids' parlance of some years ago.
This is like... like some Street Fighter menu music or something.
Yes. Oh, I'm so into it.
I just want to listen to it in the car.
Right?
Feels like driving through LA music. Feels good.
Very aggressive. All right, Kelk, what you got for me?
I am going to put over Alexa Bliss's 365 that aired after Stomping Grounds on WWE Network on Sunday. I thought it was really good and interesting. I think it's a good, interesting thing that they do. It's one of my favorite things they do on the network since they took away my talking smack. Bastards. I mean, it'll never be ride-along, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. If you have any interest in wrestling and wrestlers, it's really great. She talks so much about her career and her injuries and her past with eating disorders or disordered eating. And also Fandango's in it, so that was nice. And you get like a beautiful friendship moment with her and Nia Jax, which is lovely that they actually get to acknowledge each other's existence for that one moment.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Man.
It's lovely. And Larry Steve is in it, so...
Larry Steve is huge.
He's so big.
This is what I keep telling people. Teacup pigs are not fucking real. They're potbelly pigs, and potbelly pigs can still get to 400 pounds.
Teacup pigs are just regular pigs that have been starved.
That have been starved.
And that's why they don't live so long, because they're being starved. Larry Steve will live a long and healthy, giant, big, fat pig life.
Well, and what happens is that, like, your pig starts to get sick, so you take the pig to the vet, and then the vet goes, what shady-ass, awful fucking breeder sent you and gave you the instructions to do this?
Not to feed your piggy.
Now you have to feed your pig, and now you just have a big-ass pig.
Now you got a big fat pig. So Larry Steve, congratulations in always having been a big fat pig.
Big fat pig!
Yeah, so congratulations Alexa Bliss on your 365 and pig ownership.
365 days ago till now. It was a crazy year. I've just been going, going, going.
You're gonna do so good.
I am so excited. I am the second woman to ever win Money in the Bank. I was crying. It was very possible in my mind that I wasn't going to ever be medically cleared. Even in the lows of my career this year, I wouldn't
change any of it. They know how to do a package, man.
Because it's made me who I am today. It wasn't really proving the doubters wrong. I was proving myself wrong.
They love a soundbite.
They love a soundbite. Oh, that's great. Also, one of my many pigs in Stardew Valley is named Larry Steve.
Become so fluent in trailerese when you have to work with WWE, I bet.
Yeah, for real, though. I'm starting to get there, I think. Now, as for me, I am putting over Sammy and Kevin's great... They did a backstage promo. It did not air on Stomping Ground. I believe it only aired on socials. Ew. I wish it would have. Because it was just a reminder of how fucking really fucking funny and fun those promos that they do for socials and for the internet are so much better than the shit that winds up going on TV. It's insane.
Sammy! Renee wants to talk to us. Sammy! Sammy, Renee wants to talk. She has questions. We won the match. Yeah. It is Renee. It's a poor man's Renee. It's not Renee. It's poor man. So what's this about?
It's the poor man's Renee. Tonight's match.
Thumbs up on me. It's like, hey, Kevin, you won the match. Great job.
Yeah, boo-boo number one, yeah. We won the match. Boo-boo. It's a mistake. Yeah. How do you do that? How do you go up to one person in a team?
I know. Well, you know, Renee's never been...
Well, the real Renee's all right with me.
What are you saying to me?
This is not Renee.
Sarah.
Sarah?
Yeah.
But you have blonde hair. Let's not dwell on semantics. What is it you want to know? How good we are? I think we proved it. We prove it every night. It's really like, look, I'm past the point of needing people's validation to tell me how good I am. But look, what?
You know, it's
come
true.
On, like, you know what? If you have two eyes, you know, we don't.
Yeah, let me just put it this way.
Here's the thing, Renee. Oh, whatever. You can watch us fail week in and week out for months.
Wow.
You can watch us beg somebody to be the referee and then renege on the offer because we're smarter than that. You can watch us get beat down every week. But the point is, something like tonight happens, and then you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what everyone else knows in this company, in other companies, in the crowd, everywhere, what Sin Cara knows, what Mickey James out there in the darkness knows, what everyone knows.
The real Renee knows.
It's that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn make this show worth watching every single week. When we're on the air, people pay attention, people watch, because we do those things better than anyone else.
You know, I really need an edition of Billy on the Street starring Kevin Owens and Sammy.
It's so good. And I love that they keep pointing out the people on the truck. And then, like, as this closes, you'll have to watch it on there. But as this closes, Sammy is like, you know, there's a level of trust that we have with Renee, and we'll get there with you. Which makes me laugh. And then they just start going over and talking about, like, what happened to Sin Cara and, like, why he's out. Anyway, it's great, and it makes me really happy. And that does it for Tights and Fights. We're a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk and Emily Pratt, along with me, Danielle Radford. Emily, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I had fun being
good.
Here.
Yay! So is there anything that you want to put out there for our listeners? Any pluggity plugs? Plug away.
Yeah, you can find most of my writing about wrestling on uprocks.com/prowrestling. UPROXX. And you can follow me on Twitter about all my projects on @EmilyofPratt on Twitter.
Awesome. Lindsay, tell me about books.
I write them. That's it. I'm also on Twitter, where you can find all my things @LindsayKelk. I have books.
Bye, I Heart Hawaii. Cinders and Sparks is out.
It's coming. Out everywhere, but it's going to actually, for reals, be out in America at some point, too. Cinders
Perfect.
And Sparks, which
can
is
they pre-order
exciting.
It?
Probably. She says.
We should find that out before
yeah.
the next podcast.
I mean, it's definitely available on the internet, but it will actually be like in American bookstores at some point
Ooh,
soon.
Ooh, I remember those.
Yeah. Publishing is weird, man. It is complicated and weird.
It's fucking weird. As for me, as per usual, watch the Honest trailers, because the more that you guys watch those, the more that I am able to pay my rent, which is pretty good. Also, and I think some of you probably already saw this, I got to be on the React channel
yes.
where they surprised me with an Xavier Woods, which was so fun and so crazy. And so if you want to check that out, it was a really good time and I'm still like...
Don't yuck yuck yum.
Yeah, I'm still like super shocked that that happened. I like know Xavier Woods now. It's fine.
He loves you. And you love him.
He sent me a very kind message about how much he loves me. And that's fine. And I'll just keep that forever. Can I? I might cross-stitch it.
Yeah.
You know? I might do like a
I like
a needle
it.
Point.
I think it belongs on a tote bag.
Yeah, I think I'm going to needle point that and then just have that with me forever. And then next time I can't pay my rent, hey, Xavier Woods thinks I'm funny. Our producer is Punny in the Bank, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram, who I believe Lindsay has been curating a lot of our Instagram.
In theory. Lindsay's been away.
Well,
but Lindsay's
been
back
busy.
On that shit now.
Yeah.
So get ready for a whole bunch of pictures of wrestlers I like. That's what's coming.
Cats and butts, my friend. Saw cats and butts on the Tights Fights Instagram. If you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all of your friends. And thank you so much to all of the Max Fund listeners who make this show possible. We will be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Anything we need to redo?
No, I think we're good. We'll
Should
just
we
talk
just
about
go
some...
ahead and do the intro for Tap and Titles while we're here? Just while we're all in the same room.
Oh God, I'm horrified of what that intro would be. Just click, 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 click.
But I over a 70s porn soundtrack. It's like, wow, 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 click, 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 click. It would be great.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.